Hello, this is Denise Yon, and welcome to the Brand is Business Bites podcast. The Brand is Business Bites podcast gives you a taste of insights and information about brands, businesses, and the people who work on them. It's available on iTunes. For more stuff for your brain to chew on, please visit my website at deniseleeyon.com.
Welcome. Michael Chong is a sought-after speaker and trend analyst. His company mission is to bring innovation to life, and he speaks on Uber trends, super trends that are reshaping society in remarkable ways. And I had the privilege of meeting Michael a couple of years ago when he presented a very provocative talk at the CMO Council Annual Summit, and I've enjoyed following him ever since. And so I'm just so pleased to have this opportunity to speak with him and share his insights with you. So welcome, Michael.
Thank you very much, Denise.
I've been looking forward to this conversation, and I have tons of questions, so I'm going to just kind of launch right into them, if that's okay with you.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, first kind of big overarching question, can you talk about a couple of the emerging trends which are changing the way that brands and consumers interact?
As you mentioned, I tend to focus people on the Uber trends that are reshaping society. And I think that if you have a firm understanding of how those trends are changing us, then you can better grasp how the sub-trends, i.e. social media and the iPhone and things like that, are going to affect us in the future. So my big thing, first off, is to talk a little bit about the digital lifestyle Uber trend, which is, you know, we are inundated with technology. It has firmly implanted itself in the fabric life, and as a result, you're seeing a host of sub-trends that are emerging out of that. I mentioned the iPhone already, the iPod that is, you know, reshaping the music industry, and the iPad, which is about to do the same for the publishing industry. It's a revolution in the making. And the other Uber trend that I think is very germane to the marketer is the time compression Uber trend, and that's the one where life is accelerating. I tell you that everything is going faster these days. Everyone feels like they're suffering from TV, too busy disorder, and multitask to save time, so we're driving while texting. DWT is new DUI. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we need to drink energy drinks to the tune of $40 billion a year. And we need to drink coffee to the tune of $70 billion a year, all so that we can tackle the day with enough energy because we sleep 2 hours each night. Right. So having set that scenario, you, it's clear that the marketer is facing perhaps the biggest change in marketing's, 500-year history. And that is that we are going to render ourselves basically controlless, because I believe that the consumer is gaining all the control. Mm. And that is being propelled by technology. It's being led by social media and a host of other technologies that literally give the consumer all the control he, she wants. And that is changing the whole term of we market, because in the past, marketing has been made away dialogue, water, repetitive, it's whatever message they want the consumer to understand, and it's been relatively one-dimensional. Mm-hmm. Now we've got, 500 million in Facebook and 110 million in Twitter, and all of them are talking about brands, products, services. So I think that that is the big change. It's both in the time compression, which means that people just don't have time, and digital lifestyle and unwired Uber trends, which are propelling this control freak phenomenon that is going to really impact the way we market.
Right, right. Now, do you think that, it's interesting that you talk about you said rendering ourselves controlless, and I wonder if that means that companies, specifically it relates to innovation, whether companies are now less in the role of leading innovation and more about, you know, kind of jumping on the bandwagon notion that is arrived from consumers themselves. I mean, is there still a role for a company to have leadership in the process, or does the fact that you're controlless or becoming controlless kind of reverse the roles between company and customer or consumer?
Yeah, well, you know, we live in a market world, and the consumer is getting a bigger voice in everything. And that simply means that the one-way dialogue is being replaced with multi-point messages that say, here's what or need. And the marketer is not going to be outside the process because it's, after all, their research and development that is great, the new innovations and its thinking and hopefully their thought leadership that helps shape those products. But in reality, what's going to happen is the consumer will gain far more influence in the process of how these are brought to market. Right now, that's mainly a very lightweight conversation. You know, I like this, I dislike that. But I think that in the future, literally, the social media will evolve into where the consumer will actually be able to help co-design new products. That's, you know, what I see happening within 5 to 10 years. So then, to a certain extent, you will render that control to the consumer in large part, except for, you know, those parts that you know best, which means, you know, you coming down the pike in terms of technology and what could be applied. And the visionaries that lead brands, say, you know, people that understand what product they could come up with without the consumer having any context, which is, of course, you know, when a consumer know what they want, if, you know, you haven't introduced it. So to an extent, that's what Guy Kawasaki is about. The consumer can't be totally in control of innovation, but it's going to have a very large voice in it.
Right, right. Well, I think that presents a challenge for companies in terms of, you know, the classic signal versus noise challenge of how do you, a marketer, know what to pay attention to because there is so much conversation going on out there. You know, how does a marketer separate the signal, the real valuable contributions that certain consumers are making from the noise of just kind of mouthing off because they can?
Right.
You know, how do companies distinguish?
Again, then you need to go back to those Uber trends that I talked about and see what the specific values are that they change. Mm-hmm. So let's take the digital lifestyle. It suggests that consumers are becoming increasingly enamored with multifunctional anything. And that is a parallel, if you like, a mirror trend to how we are becoming. We are multitasking. We are doing two things at once. And it's pretty much logical that we would expect the same thing from whatever we use. And that's a couple of that is the iPhone, it's the mobile phone, it's the video camera, it's the news reader, it's the map, it's the everything in one device. It saves me a lot of time not having to relearn a separate GPS navigation device or a separate music device or a separate video device. It's all in one. And you're seeing that spread to the beverage category where consumers are asking for multifunctional beverages. Because, again, who wants to drink 5 different drinks? One for your vitamin, for your energy, one for your entertainment, one, wine as well, but all in one. So you're seeing that in vitamin water. You're seeing that in the addition of a host of beverages. So, in effect, if you look at these Uber trends, so convenience obviously is a time compression value that is a big push these days. We want things simplified. And one of the biggest case studies of late is the, you know, the revolution that's taking care in laundry and laundry care products, and how, you know, the Purex Complete 3-in-1 laundry sheets combine detergent and fab softener are a perfect example of what I'm just talking about, where you suddenly combine two separate functions in one and are able to save consumers some time. That's a very perfect example of that. Another one is convenience. You know, again, in that same category, you got Tide, Stainless, which helps, you know, consumers achieve better results, which is all speaking convenience. And since we're so driven by time constraints, any product that is innovative or convenient or convergent, if you think about it, they're all three very similar in terms of execution because they all – speak in terms of efficiency and time saving, and you know, able to make our lives more pleasant. And that's what that's all about. And Unwired, that Uber trend that you know is all about being less connected through wires as well as relationships and contracts and all of the other things bespeaks of a, you know, one of the biggest values that we are familiar with as Americans, and that is freedom. So to the end, you know, if you can design products that untether people or make people easy, make it easier for people to take their products elsewhere and use wherever they like, they're speaking to a huge need in the marketplace. So mobility and moving and all of those things fall under that category. So recognizing what the values are and then designing products for those value statements will allow you as a company to understand how you can design products for the future, because this is how the consumer lifestyle is evolving. It's becoming one that, you know, is highly engaged, is incredibly time-pressed, and is always continuously in search for solutions to those type of problems, as well as, you know, aging and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, and what the way that you just described that actually makes a lot of sense to me, because I think that there's the risk in, because there's so much capability made possible through new technology, there's risk of kind of it becoming more complex and more complicated. But I think the way that you talked about it, which is, you know, if you're building these things or integrating them in a way that it actually makes the user experience easier or more simple, that is really the benefit of what technology does. So it's,
absolutely,
you know, it's not about all the whiz-bang features, but it's about how do all these things come together so that they simplify my life and that they give me real solutions.
Absolutely. And you can, let me take four instances that I think are class studies that show you how important innovation can be. I told you 10 years ago that America would have four consumer electronics companies that would beat the Chinese and the Koreans at their own game. You would think that I was out of my mind. And it is the very thing that's happened in the past decade. We have led not only Apple, but the Pure Digital Technologies company, which came out with Flip Video, which was above Gumps in beautiful Main Lane, San Francisco, and now is part of Cisco, that beat both Sony and Panasonic at its own game. You've got Red, which is in Southern California, which is beating the people of the high-definition game. And you've got Vizio, also in Southern California, that is taking a fifth of the market. It simply understood how to be much more efficient, perhaps even simple, in its approach to the American television market. So four companies that used different leverage points in each particular example, two of them simplicity, Apple and Flip, you know, making it easy to do video, making it easy to listen to your music, and two that focused on distribution innovation or manufacturing innovation to keep price points low. The other one on, you know, how to make cameras sharper and more modular and easier to manage, you know, and upgrade. So all of these show that innovation can come from a number of areas. If you set your mind to it, you can reinvent yourself and your category despite huge odds, you know. And this is the message I want to give to all manufacturers in the United States, whether you're big or small. There are countless opportunities that are being propelled strands, countless opportunities that you can leverage if you just set your mind to it and think like the consumer will think in, say, 5 years, and understand these trends, and then, you know, apply the judgment that you have and listen to the consumer. I mean, I think that in Apple's instance, I find it remarkable that the company has gotten so big despite the fact that it doesn't listen to the consumer. You know, Steve Jobs is single-mindedly set on forcing his vision on everyone. Thank God he knows pretty well how to do a good job. Otherwise, you know, we would not be buying his products. But if he listened to just this morning I was talking to another journalist about this, which is that if he came out with a tiny laptop like the Netbooks, a competitor with the iPad in essence, but, you know, another form factor Mac aficionados to buy, he'd sell 10 million in the first year. And since he's already almost valued more than Microsoft, it would make this a gigantic juggernaut, if you can imagine. So, again, listening to the consumer is key, and there's so many good listening tools out there these days. I don't see how manufacturers and marketers are not going to change rapidly in the next 10 years, leveraging all these new innovations.
Right, right. Well, I think that's a great note to end on in terms of the countless opportunities that are out there if companies are just willing to listen and set their minds to it. So,
exactly.
Yeah. So thank you for sharing that. That's both not just inspirational, but very instructional, and I really appreciate it. For my listeners, you can learn more about Michael as well as contact him through his website, ubercool.com. So that's UBERCOL.com. And I think they will enjoy getting to know him as much as I have. Michael, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it, and I look forward to speaking with you soon.
Thank you very much, Denise.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
That's it for today. Thanks for listening to the Brand as Business Bites podcast. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes so your brain will always be filled with good stuff to chew on. For more information or to contact me directly, please visit my website at deniseleeyan.com. Take care, and thanks again.